saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Baseball Insiders on a Wednesday afternoon. I am Adam Weinrub, joined, as always, by FanSided's MLB Insider, Robert Murray, who had the Lamont Wade Jr. scoop today. Big Dom Smith having a moment and will replace him in San Francisco, it seems. What's up with the Red Sox, and why is their first base coach fighting the Angels roster? We'll talk about it. Plus, stealth Brian Cashman on the move after Luke Weaver's injury, or just doing nothing and hanging out? Devin Williams closed his first game since Weaver's injury last night, and you won't believe how many runs he gave up. Not zero. Also, what about the Dodgers? They are down several starters, but also bullpen pieces. The Astros needs the Wade Jr. repercussions and plenty more in Robert's notebook to take us through all of that. And Zach G., you don't want to see Devin Williams in the ninth inning ever again. Bad news, man. You're going to. Robert, what's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing very well. It seems like I'm doing better than Zach G, who does not want to see Devin Williams in the ninth inning again, which I'm sorry for being the bearer of bad news, but I'll echo what Adam said. You're going to be seeing that. But we got lots to talk about today. I'm very excited to dive into it. We got some good stuff in the works over here. We got some scoop that I don't even think is in the rundown today. So that shall be good. Adam, how are you doing? What's the latest and greatest?
Oh, latest and greatest is, Devin Williams again, bullpen ace. How's it doing, everybody? Thanks for joining us. Let us know if you got questions in the comments. Please weigh in. It is a Wednesday afternoon, 1 o'clock Eastern time. Is the scoop Roman Anthony? Y'all have to wait and see, but you might be waiting a while because that scoop is buried under a pile of stuff in a laundry cart to get out of the way of autograph signers, not coming to see the light of day. Unless it is. Robert can let me know. I'm gonna zag here and say Devin Williams actually looked pretty good yesterday. The Guardians just guardianed him. Like, Carlos Santana worked a 10-pitch at-bat, and he ripped one into the gap, but all those pitches were good. Daniel Schneeman chopped one through the hole. He also got the job done. You'll see worse Devin Williams games. I promise you that. But please join us. Subscribe to the Moonshot if you have not. That's our weekly baseball email newsletter where the fan-sided MLB team, including the one and only Robert Murray, break down all the biggest stories in the big leagues with humor, insight, and behind-the-scenes info. You can read all that and more on fansided.com/baseball-insiders. That is where our written content goes on fansided.com as we head into rumor season. Also, you know, Robert's columns go there, Eric Cole's prospect columns to accompany the prospect show, the stream noon on Tuesdays. Robert does a private Q&A in the rumor mill tier of the Discord on Thursdays at 3 o'clock Eastern. And my weird stuff goes on the Baseball Insiders feed as well. We had an interview with Todd Frazier this week. Sam Phelan, our Southside Showdown White Sox expert, and some of you may recognize him from being on this show a couple weeks back. Some of you may recognize him from Survivor Season 47. He did a great interview with Todd Frazier, so check that out. And we wrote it up on the Insiders feed. Really appreciate everybody joining us today. Okay, Robert, where do we want to get started? I feel like the first question that came in was about Duran and the Padres. We have talked about that link pretty explicitly, but I wanted to expand it a little bit because Jeff Passan, in his big old column to get us set up for the trade deadline, said what I've been thinking for a while, that the Sox could consider trading Willie or Abreu as well as Duran. So you got to put both players in whatever conversation or whatever deadline bucket you're talking about. as they try to make room for Roman Anthony. And I could go on a 35-minute rant, but I won't. I'll spare Red Sox fans that. But when you sign Alex Bregman this offseason, you created some weird positional log jams. And Alex Bregman rules, but also now you got even more guys for even fewer spaces in Boston because Trevor Story not going anywhere unless he's going somewhere. Because you got either DFA him or he's sticking around. And then what happens to they're going to demote Christian Campbell? I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, and all of them leave someone on the cutting room floor. So my question is, fair to assume that both Abreu and Duran are at least being discussed internally by Red Sox people as they try to figure out how to navigate here? And how far down the seller rabbit hole could you see Boston going?
This is a really complicated question for the Red Sox. They're trying to figure this out themselves right now. But what teams around the league are seeing with the Red Sox is an opportunity where they have a lot of really talented names in the outfield. They have, as you said, they have Abreu, they have Duran. I mean, there's others for sure. But they have to make room for Roman Anthony somehow. And there have been teams more than just the Padres that have called the Red Sox about their outfield depth. And I know Duran is a name that has been discussed. I don't know about Abreu, but when in doubt, you always got to trust Jeff Passan because he knows what he's talking about. But let's stick with Duran for a bit because he's been mentioned in trade rumors this year, last year. This is not something that's new for him by any means. The Red Sox are not in a hurry to trade Duran. They are listening. They are not shopping. And those are two totally different things. You're going to hear me say that plenty of times over the next 8 weeks. So just bear warning for that. But Duran is a player that they value a lot. And getting him away from Boston would require any team to make a really big package to go back to Boston. And that's why I think as far as Duran goes, he's unlikely to go to the Padres. I don't know if they have the necessary pieces to get him, but also to get other pieces that they want. So that's not necessarily something that I'm tracking too much here. As far as Abreu goes, I think it's a very similar idea where that one's going to just require a lot for him to be pried away from Boston. So not necessarily sure I see that one either, even though there are likely going to be a shortage of sellers at the deadline, which could always mean teams get aggressive and try to overpay for some of these guys. And we saw it last year with the Miami Marlins when they just sold off almost anybody. They almost traded some of their guys' mothers. It was just that big of a sell-off. And I mean, they didn't actually do that.
Well, that got vetoed, right? Like they tried to trade a couple of the parents, and then Manfred was like, guys, come on, what good's that going to do?
No, that's exactly how it played out. But no, it's so there's always a possibility where a team overpays for a guy like Duran or Abreu or whoever else on the roster, who knows. There's also the option of moving Rafaela to the infield, which, I mean, we don't really know exactly what they do then with the other infielders. It's just a huge logjam and a huge mess. They're trying to navigate it, but you can be very assured here that there are teams around the league who are checking in on these guys. It's not just the Padres, but as of this point, nothing is imminent, nothing's close, and I don't think we're going to see some action there for quite a while, or if at all.
Yeah, a limited number of sellers. You touched on a huge point there. Some of these teams are going to have to play the hybrid game. Like, people are getting mocked, and I understand the mockery online by like pitching trade candidates from the, like people are everyone's sending Bo Bichette everywhere, and so you get the pushback of the Blue Jays are like a game and a half out of a playoff spot. What are we doing? And then when you really drill down, every team is within a game and a half of a playoff spot, and a lot of these teams are going to have to make a difficult decision and face reality and fire Tom Thibodeau. Not that I'm saying that was a good or bad decision, but like there are teams in solid positions that have to decide, okay, but what's the ceiling of this core? How far are we going to go? Do we hybrid this? You've been hinting at the Padres forever as a team that like wouldn't rule out a Dylan Cease trade and also wouldn't consider that a surrender.
I don't necessarily know how likely that scenario is at this point. I would be really surprised if Cease or King were traded. Okay. I don't think that's the avenue the Padres are going to go here. I did think that might be a possibility, but I think that one is increasingly unlikely.
Okay, good to know. But I mean, yeah, again, like there is this logjam of teams in the middle that are going to have to make a tough call. The Brewers and Freddie Peralta. You put that in your column this week. Are the Brewers on the periphery? Yeah, they're right on the edge of a playoff spot. Like, are the Red Sox in range? Of course they are. They're like five out and they're behind a good deal of teams, but there's too much talent there for them to be this bad. And Alex Cora put the blame on himself. We believe Alex Cora is a good manager on this podcast. Boston fans may disagree, but out of all of these teams stuck in the middle, what are the teams you're looking at to add to the seller's market at this point? At like, if it is that limited, if it's the Marlins and it's the, you know, the Rockies will give you Hunter Goodman if you want, what are the teams in the middle that you're eyeing to maybe change that?
I could see the Rays being one of those teams that do that. And they've done that in previous years where they've sold but also added at the same time, where they've kind of done a bit of both. So that team, to me, makes a lot of sense as a team that could end up doing that. If we're looking at some other teams, I mean, the Red Sox loom is a possible seller. I mean, just considering overall just how disappointing this entire season has been. So we're obviously we just listed some of the names there, but anyone on an expiring contract, could end up being, a pretty, I don't know, you would think fair game for if a team ends up selling. I don't think it's going to be like a fringe seller. I think they're just gonna be a flat out seller, but I'm going to make a call right now that the best bargain of the deadline is going to be Charlie Morton. He is starting to turn it around. He looks like the pitcher that the Orioles thought he was going to be. So I'm thinking he can end up being a guy that whoever ends up acquiring him, or if he is traded, but I would imagine he's probably going to be traded if the Orioles sell, that could be a real nice value play there. Let's see. I'm going through the teams right now. I want to make sure I'm not missing anybody. Diamondbacks are another one, just in case. I don't know. They're 29-31. They're in fourth place in that division. They might have a Corbin Burnes issue, no matter. I mean, we don't know how long he's going to be out yet. He is getting a second opinion because the first results were inconclusive. So we'll see there. But if they do sell, they have a lot of intriguing pieces. There's plenty. I mean, the Braves are another team. The Reds, Pirates. I mean, shoot, there's a lot of different teams that could sell here or be fringe sellers. So I'm watching it, but those are the ones that stand out to me right now.
Oof. Well, I can't wait for the rest of the month of June and July because we're going to get a lot more clarity. And I will be in Baltimore next Thursday watching Orioles Tigers if anybody wants to come say hi. But maybe I'll get to scout Charlie Morton, the new and improved 46-year-old Charlie Morton in person, because I would love to see who might be getting a bargain of the day, a bargain innings eater at this year's deadline. It would be not, I like Charlie Morton. The game's better with a good version of Charlie Morton. So let's see what that looks like. And oh, by the way, a team that we know is seeking starting pitching, once employed Charlie Morton is probably quite comfortable with his profile. We know the Houston Astros are shopping. Bob Nightingale made this very clear. I'm just going to go ahead and draw that link. You don't have to comment. You can blink twice if I made a good point. But we know the Astros are seeking starting pitching, and if Morton might be a prize, you'd have to imagine Dana Brown could be interested.
That could be one that is very intriguing for them. And I don't know if they're going to end up being like in the big game market by any means, but familiarity there would be a huge thing. And if you can end up getting Morton for a really strong value, I think that's an option that they absolutely have to consider there. But it's clear that they are going to be pursuing starting pitching. There's going to be a lot of teams that end up pursuing starting pitching. So they're not going to be alone by any means. That's why, I mean, and to add another one to the fringe, I mean, well, not fringe sellers, but like a possibility to like sell something off the major league roster while still trying to contend is the Brewers. And the Brewers and Astros have a history of making deals. And again, like I know I mentioned Freddie Peralta the other day in my story. I said it on the last podcast, and I don't want to say it again just in case any aggregators are out there listening to this. MLB Deadline News, I see you, but you're a good aggregator, so we appreciate you. But I do not think the Brewers will trade Peralta. I firmly believe there's going to be plenty of teams who check in just because the Brewers have a history of trading players in that contracts case. But I think they probably hold on to him, especially now that they're trying to contend and maybe evaluate that in the offseason. But Aaron Civale, who is signed for $8 million this year, then is a free agent at the end of the year, could be an option. So, I mean, as I said, the Brewers and Astros do have a history of making trades together. Most of those, I believe, were made with David Stearns in town. So maybe that could complicate things a little bit. But I think, I mean, the Astros just make a lot of sense for them, the starting pitching market in general.
Yeah, the big old Bill Simmons aggregate. Don't aggregate this. Don't aggregate this. But we will keep the aggregators at bay. It's definitely worth keeping in mind as we consider potential deadline, familiar deadline matches. Now on to two teams with bullpen woes. And I think I'm going to address the elephant in the room for all the Devin Williams callouts earlier in the show. Again, I feel like Devin Williams, if you're grading the box score, you're not pumped by 30 pitches and a run allowed in a 3-1 game in the ninth against the Guardians. But watching that game, it did not look like the deer in the headlights Devin Williams from April, the one who would just come in and you'd go, hey, maybe today's the day. And he'd go single, walk, single. And you'd go, today is not the day. What the hell happened? Like, he was in command for all 30 pitches. Carlos Santana battled and battled and battled and battled and then tomahawked a high fastball out of the zone into the gap. Daniel Schneemann hit a doinker with two outs. He made a couple great pitches to Arias and Bo Naylor. Like, I didn't love giving up a run. I didn't love sweating that out for 15 minutes. I didn't love telling Biscuit, hey, buddy, we got to wait here. You know, I got to see what Devin Williams does. Stop barking. I can't take you out yet. You just go pee in the corner. But I would say he looked better yesterday in his first save op post Luke Weaver than he did earlier in the season before Weaver took his job back. That said, Luke Weaver there being a little sketchy on the severity of this injury. Jeff Passan said 4 to 6 weeks. Aaron Boone said Weaver wants to be back in 15 days, but he won't be. They're waiting for like examinations. It 4 to 6 weeks feels pretty safe. And that'll put him back around the All-Star break. And that'll remove an All-Star appearance from Weaver's, you know, baseball reference page, which sucks. But he's not gone forever. They'll get him back before the trade deadline, it would seem. That helps. They can hopefully survive, you know, a month and a half without him. But Yankee fans are obviously wondering, okay, does this change our trade deadline calculus at all? Are we now looking for an extra bullpen piece? They got Loaisiga, Leiter, Williams. Is that enough? Fernando Cruz, is that enough? You know, so I would still say starting pitching and right-handed bat and then bullpen. But curious if this changes Brian Cashman's equation at all.
No, I think you're spot on with that. I think bullpen is firmly in the number three mix because if you look at their bullpen situation, like as you said, Devin Williams, despite what the stat line might suggest, he looked like a different version of himself compared to the start of the season. And if they can get him back on track, that would be as big of a trade deadline addition as they possibly could make. And his history and his performance with the Brewers would suggest that yes, like this 10, 11, however many outings he's had so far with the Yankees, stint has been just like a mirage more than a sign of things to come. And I expect him to bounce back. He's too talented of a pitcher to stay down like this. And then you also, Luke Weaver is going to end up being a guy that comes back middle of July. And that, I mean, they might end up using that as like as something where that's kind of like a trade deadline addition as well. So I would look for them to absolutely add to the bullpen for sure at the deadline. I would think not like an 8th or a 9th inning guy by any means, but if they can get someone who's dependable and they've had a history of doing just that, they can find these guys at the margins and they've been very successful at that. If you can do that, you can get a starting pitcher or maybe two, who knows, another bat, then you can be really cooking there. And you don't have to go out and splurge on one of these.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I'm one of these bullpen guys. You don't have to give up much because, as I said, the Yankees have a history of getting these guys and maximizing them, and that's also a case of why these teams don't really spend big on relievers. I know we're going to be talking about Tanner Scott here in a little bit, but I don't know what I want to end that with, but go ahead, Adam.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect transition right into Tanner Scott and Brent Hedrick's season. And they don't use him in high leverage yet, but they should. Maybe they will. I'd rather Brent Hedrick in high leverage and go grab Wandy Peralta or whatever. But the Dodgers get rightfully roasted for all of these starting pitching injuries. And spoiler alert, they should. I'm not forgiving the Dodgers for – that's what happens when you bank on Blake Snell and Tyler Glass now. Some of it is the Dodgers pitching program. Some of it is some, like, internal stuff where they have to look in the mirror. And some of it is paying a lot of money to Blake Snell and Tyler Glass now, who are always on the injured list. Like, it's not like they joined an ideal situation in the Dodgers. Like, the Dodgers medical folks were not like, we have the miracle cure because we can't figure it out for our other pitchers. But still, being down Glass now, Snell, Roki, Sasaki, not entirely shocking. But the rotation gets most of the discussion because of those big names. But Evan Phillips, losing him in the bullpen could loom really large, and that just makes the Tanner Scott problem worse. The opener against the Mets, Scott exacerbated the issue. And then game two, Scott was good because he's been alternating good and bad outings for like a month and a half now. But that is, like you said, why teams are hesitant to spend big money on these closer types, because you may end up with a Scott, and you may end up with Devin Williams in a walk year where he's got a 2 ERA in the eighth or earlier and a 10-plus ERA in the ninth. Like, relief pitching is hard to predict. But a team that we know has rotation problems also has bullpen problems. And you'd rather bump Ben Kasperias and Jack Dreyer down a rung on the ladder and put a bigger, more secure name in there. Are the Dodgers thinking that way, or are they targeting other things too?
I would expect them to target bullpen help, and it's kind of crazy to be thinking that, just because considering how much they ended up spending in that unit this offseason, and just, I mean, the names that they have, but they're in a position now where they absolutely have to consider adding bullpen help from outside the organization, just adding pitching help in general, because if there's any team that knows what it's like going through pitching and having injuries in the rotation of the bullpen, it's the Dodgers. And yet, even last year when they were dealing with all that, they managed to overcome it and win the World Series. And yes, I know there's going to be people are going to be like, yeah, they spent their way to the World Series. They got Ohtani, they got Freeman, the Betts. I mean, you name it. Like, I hear you on that. But baseball is you have 162 games, injuries happen, and being able to overcome that is a really challenging thing. But they've built a roster where they've been able to do that. So I would expect them to absolutely go out and target it. And I've had some other people in baseball really kind of just praise the Dodgers because they're built to consistently win 95 to 100 games and consistently be like one of the greatest teams in the game. There's other teams that are built in a different way, that have been like more unsuccessful with that. And there's just, I don't know, a lot of people around the game are praising the way that the Dodgers end up like building their roster. I know that's kind of a silly thing to say considering how much they've spent, but they spend their money wisely. Maybe they don't hit all the time, especially with what we're seeing now with their bullpen, but more often than not, it works out.
Yeah. And it's a better stretch goal that they're aiming for than whatever the Mariners front office is typically aiming for. You got to shoot a little bit higher. That's how you get to be where the Dodgers are. Uncle Ted, Andrew Vaughn for TJ Rumfield. I'd rather eat my own eyeballs, but I do appreciate the pitch. We were going to talk about this next anyway, so let's go Isaac Delgado asking about the Giants shakeup. And yes, Robert, you were the one who had the Lamont Wade news. We had some questions earlier in the pod about whether anyone's going to take a chance on late night Lamont. I would think so, probably, if someone took a chance on Dom Smith. I don't know why someone wouldn't take a chance on Lamont. But Dom Smith to the Giants. Wade gone. There was another shakeup in there too, right? That wasn't just, there was more to that. But thoughts on the Giants realizing, maybe not hitting the panic button, but certainly hitting a button to make sure that things change sooner rather than later.
Yeah, this was a long time coming for the Giants, and they shopped Lamont Wade Jr. in the offseason, and they were looking for upgrades in the first base market. I was surprised they were not more aggressively linked or just didn't pursue Pete Alonso. But they really were not in that race at all. But it was clear that Lamont Wade Jr. was on limited time, and considering his struggles there this season, the time was now to make a change. And with Dom Smith opting out of his deal with the Yankees, that made all the sense in the world for the Giants. And from what I was told a little bit ago, they were pretty aggressive early on after Dom Smith opted out of his deal with the Yankees. He performed really well in AAA there, and they hope that what he showed in AAA with the Yankees is going to translate to the major league level for the Giants. And he should get pretty consistent playing time, which is going to be an important thing for him. And he is once a former top prospect, so the ability is there for sure. It's an upside play. And the good news for the Giants is that they did this with 2 months before the trade deadline. If this does not work out, they can absolutely explore the market looking for first base help on the trade front. So we'll see there, but Dom Smith is a low risk, potentially high reward play. And I'm really surprised there's not other teams that, that went out and did this. I'm looking at you, Pittsburgh Pirates, or even the Chicago White Sox. Cause I, early in the offseason or early in the season, when he initially opted out of his deal, I thought the Pirates made a lot of sense there, especially with Spencer Horwitz's injury. I don't believe they showed a lick of interest, which I don't get it, but I mean, I feel like we could say that about a lot of Pirates moves. So we'll see if it works out for the Giants, but it feels like a missed opportunity for other teams.
Yeah. I'm stuck. Uncle Ted, you have this ability to stick in my head and just like, you can't get out. I don't know why you're trying to send Andrew Vaughn to the Yankees. I see the hard hit rate, but the Yankees do not need another first base type, first base DH guy. They got Ben Rice. They got Paul Goldschmidt. They got Giancarlo Stanton coming back. I don't know where Andrew Vaughn goes. Maybe the underlying stats are good for some other team, but I don't see the fit in New York. I'm definitely not trading any future pieces there. And appreciate this comment too about how the Dodgers go for people with plus stuff but are prone to injury. Yeah, agree. And I don't think it's like some, I'm not definitely not the one saying it's some organizational malfunction and they need to evaluate from top to bottom, but just saying it does end up with, you know, you put your future chips on Tyler Glasnow with Blake Snell and then they get hurt. Like, is that really, is that a jaw dropper? That's something you have to deal with when you make those types of offseason commitments. Bryce Eldridge does need to come up, though. I will agree with that. MLB Deadline News asking about Pablo Lopez news. And I do think that's a valid question because it does seem like he's going to be on the shelf for a bit. He knew it. He said as soon as he threw warm-up pitches, he felt it. And the question was just a matter of severity at that point. So this will be his first IL trip with the Twins. That takes the deadline chip probably, you know, I wouldn't say reduces the price. I would say probably takes off the board entirely depending on the severity there. Or this could be a Frankie Montas situation where someone's like, oh boy, I can get Pablo Lopez. Okay, great. I'll take him while he's on the shelf and hope he recovers. That said, he's signed long-term with the Twins. You're not looking at a walk year guy. So doesn't change the calculus quite as much as Montas's injury, but what does this do to the Twins?
It takes a potential major domino away from the trade market. And we don't know if they're going to sell or not. We still got plenty of time to figure that out, but it's been pretty clear with how they've operated in the past, or especially recently, that money has been an issue for them. And if they could move on from a guy like Pablo Lopez and get value in return and maybe use some assets in other places, that may have been something that they would have considered. But now he's got a right shoulder issue. I was going to call it injury, but we don't know necessarily what it is quite yet. He's going to undergo an MRI today. So we're going to be figuring out exactly what the issue is there and how much time he's going to miss. But the point that you made about a Frankie Montas situation is absolutely spot on. Like, this is not, it's not guaranteed to be like a Montas situation by any means. Like, that was as bad as it gets for the Yankees. And that trade just did not work out from the get-go when they ended up making it. But if Lopez can come back, and let's say he's on the injured list for a minimum of 15 days, maybe a little bit longer, and he's able to make three or four starts that shows that he is healthy, then that could possibly put him back firmly in the trade picture. So we'll see. I'm not totally eliminating him quite yet. But yeah, it's definitely not an ideal situation for the Twins. And it further complicates what the possible potential or what the possible starting pitching market looks like, especially with Sandy Alcantara, him struggling and really uncertain to be moved.
Yeah, struggling to say the least. Appreciate your question. Appreciate every question. And thanks everybody for weighing in. Robert, anything else in the notebook? I know you mentioned earlier, a move, a shuffle, something you were hinting at that maybe wasn't on the rundown. So I don't know what I missed here.
Yeah, it turns out it actually has been reported, part of it has kind of been reported. But Yasmani Grandal actually is no longer with the Red Sox's AAA team. He is a free agent, and I would not be surprised at all if this was it for him, if he ended up becoming a full-time, well, I mean, he's always been full-time, but like a husband and father and just dedicating his time to that. And if that is indeed the case where this is it for him, that would be the really, it would be an end to a really unique career where he was started with the Padres and went to the Dodgers. I want to say he went to the Brewers after that and Pirates, I mean, Red Sox, like he's been to a bunch of different teams at this point, but made a lot of money throughout his career. He was good to me in Milwaukee, even though he has me blocked on Twitter. So that's fun. But if this is it, congrats to Yasmani Grandal on a great career. And hopefully he's able to enjoy his retirement, because I know being around him just how important his kids are to him.
Yeah, and hopefully that nice message was enough to get him to unblock you on Twitter. So who knows?
He didn't like the fact that I reported that he demanded a trade when he was with the Padres. With the Dodgers. Or I can't remember what team he was. No, I think it was I want to say it was the Padres he was with, because I had Bud Black call me an angry fantasy baseball owner when I first reported that. So it did happen. So even though he said I was an angry fantasy baseball owner, that did indeed happen. But no, hopefully he unblocks me, because I don't like being blocked.
No. And while we're here, Darren Revelle, if you could unblock me too, that would be great. You have some weird content, but I'd like to see it, quite frankly. I'm sorry I went viral in 2021 making fun of your tweet about baseball cards. Let's be friends. Or maybe not. I don't care. Well, thank you for joining us, everybody. Thanks to Baseball Insiders. We are back here on Monday afternoon at 3:30. But if you're in our Discord, if you're a member of the Baseball Insiders, join us at 3:00 tomorrow afternoon Eastern time in the Rumor Mill tier for a private Q&A with Robert. And if you're not a member, if you're not in the Discord, what are you doing? Hit the button right below the video. If you're not subscribed, subscribe. If you are, rate and review us. You can rate us on all podcast platforms as well. But become a member. Join us. You'll get that Discord link. You get to join a fun conversation. Subscribe to the Moonshot and read more at fansided.com/baseball-insiders. Robert has plenty of content there. He will have more. He already has had some. He'll have plenty additional. In the 2 months prior to the trade deadline, we can't wait. Every day, we are closer to the good stuff, to the promised land. Robert Murray, thank you for joining me, man. Anything else before we sign off?
No, I just hope everyone has a great day. I appreciate you all. Adam, I appreciate you. Everyone in the comments, I appreciate you. Hunter, our lovely producer, I don't know if he's here with us anymore for the day, but I appreciate you. And I'll see everyone back here on Monday. And for a private Q&A in the Discord on Thursday, which is tomorrow.
Whoa, that's true.
Look at that.
Thursday has never been more tomorrow. It's crazy. And if you have questions for me in there, you can hit me up if you just want to bother me about Andrew Vaughn's underlying metrics, which I'm open to being educated. Let me know what's up. Until next Monday's show, catch you in the Discord. Other than that, Monday, 3:30 Eastern, right here on the Baseball Insiders. Take care, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.